Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Mama. I'm Liz Tennedy, the co-founder of Motherly, a mother of four myself, and your regular host here at the Motherly Podcast. I'm really excited to introduce a new bonus show that we have for you this season called This is Motherhood, and you're tuning in to one of these episodes today. These special episodes will be hosted by Emmy Award-winning TV journalist Joyce Brewer, and all of these conversations focus on the transformation to motherhood, centering on the perspectives of mothers of color. Joyce has a really powerful and inspiring group of guests lined up. I'm so thrilled to pass her the mic for this series. Thanks for listening.
This episode is sponsored by Target. Target has always been my primary baby destination. They have so many affordable quality baby products, from fragrance-free wipes to ultra-gentle diapers and formula from brands I trust. I also love that they offer Drive Up, which is a lifesaver for busy moms. Basically, you just order your items with Target's app and someone literally brings it to your car for free. So your sleeping baby can stay cozy in your car and you don't have to change out of your sweatpants. So next time you need something from Target, get your order quickly and safely with Drive Up on the Target app or just head to the store. Welcome to This is Motherhood. I'm Joyce Brewer. I'm an African-American mom, and I know that the voices of other BIPOC moms can be so helpful on your motherhood journey, no matter where you are, but especially if you're a new mom. I wish that there was a podcast like this with more moms of color when I was pregnant with our son to listen to. So I'm so glad that we are putting these women who are experts in their field and have so much experience here on the Motherly podcast feed so that more questions are answered and more views are heard. Hi, everyone. We're talking all things yummy and baby food with this week's guest, Tracy Skelly. When Tracy had her daughter, she was looking for healthy baby food that was made from ingredients found in her culture and heritage. When she couldn't find what she was looking for, she decided to make her own, and the Little Cocoa Bean Company was born. In this interview, we talked about the process of building a business, how Tracy develops her recipes, and her mission to make healthy food and simple nutritional information more accessible to all parents. Hi, Tracy. I cannot wait to hear all of the valuable information you have for parents as you guide them through picking healthy foods for their babies and toddlers. But first, I have a burning question, and it's a question that a lot of moms have to ask themselves when they go to Target. Let's say you've only got 5 minutes to shop, okay? Where are you going in the store, and what are you getting?
It's such a good question. I'm going straight for the frozen food aisle. And the reason I go for the frozen food aisle is because I have baby and toddler at home. I hand make homemade food for them. But what I find is that Target has an incredible selection of frozen fruits and vegetables that are really fresh. They warm really well. They're very easy to make into like healthy, diverse meals for my little people. And so that's where I'm going.
You're the only person who said they're going to the frozen food section at Target.
I love that question. I can find dragon fruit, acai, mangoes, peaches, really beautiful cauliflower, vegetable. I'm going to the frozen food aisle. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Target is there. It's got you covered. To your point about looking for healthy frozen foods at Target, you have a budding business where you're helping parents on that journey. And you said that you started thinking about babies and nutrition when you had your daughter. Tell us how she set you on this journey.
Yeah, back in 2018, when my daughter was born, I had 5 months off for maternity leave, which is an incredible amount of time. And I felt very blessed to be able to spend that amount of time with my baby. I always knew that I would be making homemade food, primarily because where my family comes from, I am an Afro-Latina. So our family is from Central America, from Panama, by way of the Caribbean, by way of Africa. And so for our family, baby food isn't really a concept. It's like food that you feed babies.
Right.
And so I knew that I would really just enjoy feeding her. Feeding is such an expression of love and care. And I did it all while I was on maternity leave. And I was like in the kitchen chopping and seasoning and portioning and doing all the things that new moms do. And I didn't realize I had like that date approaching where I knew I had to go back to work. I was already working this really demanding corporate job where it wasn't an 8-hour shift every day. It was like 10, 12, 14 hours. And I found myself being less excited about cooking, not the idea of feeding my kid well, but the idea that I would have to get home and I would have to do all of these other things with all of these people sort of pulling on me. And so I started looking for foods that were fresh, healthy, but also incorporated some of my cultural foods. And it wasn't out there. The baby food industry is very Eurocentric. There is like a very small market for fresh food. But what is out there doesn't represent me or people who look like me or people whose folks come from somewhere else. And so that's when I was like, ooh, not that I have time to do much else, but I think I might actually want to do something about this.
So when did it go from just being what you served your daughter to being a business?
Really organically. I was taking her to like baby swim class, which is really these babies just floating in the water while we have them in the pool. And I would have these moms who would see me with my like homemade pouches and my homemade foods and bars and all sorts of things that I was making. And they'd ask me questions. They were like, oh, what are you putting in it? And when I'd say things like, oh, tamarind, chayote, I did this one with yuca today. They were like, wait, what are these ingredients? Where are you getting them? Can you bring me some? And so I was like, oh, yeah, because I always make too much food. I am my mother's child. And so I will bring some to the next event. And then it just started from there. People started offering to pay me for the food. I started realizing like, okay, if I wanted to actually make a business out of this, I needed to figure out like what goes into starting a food business. And that was all she wrote.
And before this, did you have a background in business?
So sort of. I had spent the last sort of decade in business development, which is really a mix of sales and marketing for large retailers. So I had some sense of some of those elements that make for a really strong business or business concept, but I knew nothing about food. I didn't know what went into CPG brands and food brands and what are the regulations. And so I had a lot of learning to do for that specific industry that I was trying to get into. But in terms of some of the general business concepts, I did have a bit of a background.
So how did you develop some of the recipes that, like you said, bring your culture, your desire to have fresh foods into what you were making for your daughter?
Truly, it was a matter of what tastes good, what tastes good to me, what tastes good to her, what are other folks going to eat? And it wasn't me trying to recreate recipes, because that's not really what we're trying to do. I'm going to leave that to your grandma to recreate her jambalaya recipe or her arroz con pollo or whatever it is. Like, we're not trying to recreate recipes, but what we are trying to do is ensure that there is ingredient recognition on those labels. So for people like me, when you see gunga peas or pigeon peas on a recipe, you're like, oh, yes. Rice and peas, like that's the pea we eat in our dish at home. Or you see yuca or you see whatever it is. It's this idea that you can have this nutritious, delicious, organic, fresh, natural food for your baby and toddler. And it can also contain ingredients that have been fed to the people in your family for generations.
So what did it take to make those recipes that were familiar, but also making sure it's nutritious, and then making sure that you could sell it and distribute it the way that you'd like to?
A ton of research, a ton of iterations, a ton of failure along the way. So like I keep saying yuca because it's a favorite. It's a favorite in a lot of cultures. When you look at the African diaspora, cassava is just a food that has traveled with us all over the globe, but it does not pack well. It doesn't blend well. Mm. It's truly like a science figuring out how to get a food that is nutritious. So you have to know the ingredients that are going in it. And then what is that fat content? What's the sugar content? What's the salt content in that food? And then making that into a label, ensuring that it can be not just cooked, but frozen and then reheated. And some foods do not reheat well once you've like blended or processed them in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of failure, a lot of trying, failing, trying again, doing a ton of research, asking a lot of questions, signing up for accelerators. I'm still learning. And I love learning, but this journey has been an uphill climb. But for me, that's why it's so satisfying to see it coming together and to see the sort of traction that we're getting, because it's been a labor of love.
And did you work with any nutritionists to make sure that these foods that you like, that your daughter liked, is also going to provide the balance and the nutrients that babies and toddlers need?
Absolutely. A very good friend of mine. And this is why when people ask me, as a mom, as a somebody who's thinking about a business, what are some of the things that I can do? And one of the things that I always say is lean on your network. Lean on your network. Those people in your life who are willing to help you or who have a certain set of skills, ask questions, ask favors. And so a very, very good friend of mine has a partner, and his partner is a nutritionist. And I came knocking on their door one day and I was like, hey, Jay, I'm just curious if you'd be willing to help me figure out if these are healthful recipes, if these are appropriate recipes for kids at certain ages and stages. And we worked together for a full year, developing recipes, developing guidance, developing best practices based on his industry expertise, what I was interested in doing. And so much of what you see today cropped up from that partnership.
Wow. So what are some of the things you said? You have two kids at home. You have a baby and a toddler, right? Mm-hmm. So what are you making for your little ones right now that they love? Like, what are some of their favorite recipes? It's summertime. So are you incorporating some of the fresh things that we can find in our gardens and our markets right now?
Yeah, I definitely like to use local foods. I like to use seasonal foods primarily because those foods will taste freshest. You know, I work with a lot of people who try farm fresh ingredients for the very first time, and they'll say things like, I did not know a mango was supposed to taste like this, or papaya was supposed to taste like this. But it's likely just because they had been trying those foods out of season. And so when you try foods that are in season and locally sourced so that there's not a ton of time from when they're picked to when you actually get to consume them, tastes totally different. And so for my baby right now, we do a lot of fresh fruits and veggies, and truly like unadulterated, not actually changing them very much, but steaming them if they need to be steamed, mashing them if they need to be mashed, but not really changing the flavor profile, because when things are fresh, you don't have to do much to them.
Now tell us about the Little Cocoa Bean Company and the community that you have, because of course you're providing this nutritious food for babies and toddlers, but is there an education component as well with the parents in terms of supporting them and answering their questions?
Absolutely. I started my career, and I'm not going to date myself, so I won't tell you the dates, but I started my career as an educator. And I think I lean very heavily on education when it comes to everything. I think education and the willingness to share information and exchange information is a type of currency, and it is something that should be shared freely. I also think the withholding of information is how oppression happens. Sometimes there's life-saving information, life-changing information that can be offered to an individual or to a group, but sometimes those in power withhold it. And so for me, this business is not just about selling our products. If you are able to patronize our business, thank you. But if you're not able to patronize our business, or you just don't want to patronize our business, I don't think that it is my right to withhold really important information that has to do with the health and well-being of your children who make up our community, who make up our future. And so education is a part of everything we do. My recipes are public on our TikTok and Instagram. I walk through exactly how I prepare the foods. You can find, you know, detailed information on our Instagram page of exactly how I will prepare fruits, vegetables, meatballs, whatever it is we're cooking, because education is so much a part of this. This is about seeing generations of people have access to this really important information about nutrition and health during those first early years of life.
Some of the topics we've talked about in the previous season of This Is Motherhood was about access to healthy foods, people who live in larger cities who may be in food deserts, and also just the cost prohibitiveness of having healthy foods. So how do you work with or address some of those things that might be hindrances to people being able to afford Little Cocoa Bean?
Yeah, it's funny. Anyone who knows me and knows how I sell our product, it's not a hard sell. It's not you must buy our product. It is, we are going to make a really stellar product that if you can afford, we would love for you to patronize our business. We would love for you to purchase our foods. But you'll see in one of our most shared TikToks, I went to Target and I bought bags of frozen fruits and vegetables that cost me $2.99 per bag. And I was able to make more than a month's worth of fresh, healthy, and affordable baby food using a resource that was down the street from me and super affordable. I think everybody needs to see that. We all want what's best for our babies, but sometimes it is cost prohibitive to buy, whether it's Little Cocoa Bean or any of the other brands that are out there. So instead, go to your local Target. Grab that box of the tropical or the bag of the tropical frozen food mix, bring it home, steam it, put it in your blender, whatever you need to do, portion it into your containers, and we'll show you how to do that too.
I want to say, where were you when I was pregnant and had my son so I could have all these recipes? I mean, I did a little of homemade baby food. I did a little bit of mixing things and mashing things with my breast milk, because our son also has food allergies, which is a whole other component. Right. So how do you communicate parents who may be dealing with kids who have special needs or special diets? It's so complicated now. I can't think of one friend in my mom group who doesn't have a child with either some dietary issue or a medical issue or a learning issue. Everyone can't sit at the table and eat the same food anymore the way it was when I was growing up.
That's right. And it is a stressor for parents. And one of the things that I think we just need to put out there is that people talk about some of the major stressors in parenthood, new parenthood. You get this baby and you know you're going to lose sleep. You know breastfeeding is going to be hard. Finding the right childcare is going to be hard. But people do not talk about food and feeding. They do not prepare you for the fact that the minute this child is put on your chest, people are asking you, how many ounces are they consuming? Are you breastfeeding or are you doing formula fed? Do you have allergies? Do you need to avoid certain foods? Are you doing baby-led weaning? Are you doing mash foods? It never ends. And so it's really stressful. And so when a parent comes to me or who's a part of the community and their child has allergies, they're a picky eater, they have special needs, one of the things that I just like to do is ensure that we're not operating from a place of judgment and we're not operating from a place of you have to do this perfectly or you're not worthy of doing it. Right. Instead, we say, we're not a perfect food business. We're a better for you brand. We're not a perfect for you brand. So some of what we do is a lot of hiding food. So there's a video on our TikTok page where we take leafy green vegetables, and I'm talking beet greens, kale, collard greens, all the leafy greens you can think of. Imagine putting that plate of leafy greens in front of most toddlers. Most of them are not going to touch it. But parents also know, I need to feed my kid this iron. The pediatrician's asking me if they eat leafy greens. You've got all this pressure. So instead, I showed parents in our community how to dehydrate those leafy greens, put them in the oven, dehydrate them on a low temperature. They turn into chips. Put them into a coffee grinder and grind it up. You can put that same massive bag of leafy greens that you just dehydrated and you pulverized into your baked goods, into your pancakes, into your rice mix, into your meatloaf, into whatever it is you choose. So a lot of what we do is about making the feeding and nutrition accessible, but also saying, if your kid turns up their nose at this beet popsicle recipe, that's okay too. You're doing the best you can, and we're all doing the best we can, and these kids like what they like.
I mean, smoothies have become the universal problem solver, I found, for a lot of my friends. Yep. The same thing with my son. I'm telling you, a banana and frozen spinach smoothie is like the highlight of his week. He probably would not eat cooked spinach, but if it's frozen, it's in a smoothie, it's in with some fruit, he's all about it.
Right. Don't even pay attention to it. It's so true. Wow. The kids really love smoothies. You can even take that smoothie and make it into a popsicle. So there are definitely ways of hiding those vegetables, hiding that good stuff in things that your kids will not only consume, but consume happily, consume readily. And so when you find that thing that works, keep doing it.
We'll be back after a short break. Thanks to our sponsor, Target. Target is my favorite place to go for affordable quality baby products, whether it's fragrance-free wipes, ultra-gentle diapers, or formula from brands I trust. I also love that they offer same-day delivery and drive-up. While I can honestly spend all day at Target, these offerings are just a huge lifesaver for busy moms on those days when you have your hands full with 200 things at once. So next time you need something from Target, check out the same-day delivery or drive up on the Target app, or just head to the store for everything you need. We're back with Tracy Skelly. So besides hiding some of the foods that your kids may not visually see and accept, what are some other hacks that you can share for parents who might have picky eaters? And I've noticed texture is a big thing for kids. And some of that has to deal with sometimes they may be on the spectrum or have learning differences. And texture means all the world when you're, you know, embracing new foods.
Oh, 100%. And one of the things that is really helpful with babies and toddlers, especially those either with texture issues, like they don't like chewing or feeding certain textures. And you're right, it could be a learning issue, but it also could be some of what happens when you feed smooth foods. So like blending foods is like a big thing, but sometimes you do it for a little too long and then your baby turned toddler is very used to that very smooth, silky consistency of food. And then you start to try and introduce more textures and they start gagging, they don't like it, etc. Or the exact opposite. You've got a kid who likes texture, who likes crunch, but they do not like soft mash foods. One, I'd say, know what your baby likes, know what your toddler likes, know what your child likes. Ensure that the plate is diverse enough. And that's why we actually have a plate that we've designed. It's a bamboo plate and it's divided into sections based on USDA food guidance. And it's really just a reminder to try and feed balanced meals, but it also gives parents the opportunity to portion and to create almost mini scenes for food. So pick a couple of foods that are accessible to them. They're going to like it. It's going to feel safe to them. So for your son, it might be that banana, right? Have a section where it's banana. He's going to be like, yes, mom, you know me. You know I like this banana. But then have a couple other things on their plate as well that are new foods, new textures. Try things together. Encourage them. If they don't want to try one day, that's fine too. Don't make feeding stressful. The other thing I find is that when parents make feeding experiences stressful, whether it's you're going to finish whatever is on your plate, whatever I served you. Well, how likely is your kid to try something new if they think you're going to force them to finish it till the end? Mm-hmm. So instead, even though it's counter to what a lot of us have grown up thinking, let them waste some food from time to time or repurpose it, right? Like have a bite or two. And if they say, I'm good with that, you say, okay, that's fine. Do you want to try a bite of that kiwi? We also say model a ton of the behavior. I do not like mushroom. I do not like eggplant, but I try to get my baby to eat it. And so I do. I'll be over there. Like, this is great, isn't it? And she follows right behind me. And what I know is that even though I'm suffering, just seeing her take a bite or two of something that I know is really good for her body is worth like it feeling like chalk or slimy things in my mouth. which is what I think of when I have mushrooms or eggplants. So that was a lot, but it's essentially make sure they have enough options, encourage them to try, but be okay if they don't try, and then be the model. Make sure that you are actually modeling behavior you want to see in your children in terms of feeding.
I'd like to know more about your support network, your village, when you were going from just the idea phase to the launch phase to the business phase, because I know you mentioned you had a friend whose partner was a nutritionist, but who else supported you and guided you as you were launching Little Cocoa Bean?
Well, man, I asked for help from so many people, business leaders, mentors, former CEOs, people that have small businesses now, anyone and everyone who'd be willing to talk to me. I spent time with them. I asked a few questions. If there was someone with specific expertise, I asked those questions. My company is going through a fundraising round and someone's asking me about valuation. And I realized, like, I don't understand a ton about how it works. It feels very pie in the sky to me. Like, I'm definitely someone who deals with realistic numbers, and yet valuation, people seem to embrace this idea that, like, it doesn't need to be realistic, in fact. And so I was like, I need to get my mind wrapped around this. And so there was a woman I met. We're not friends. We met through a network of people. And she said she has this background in finance, specifically work around emerging brands and brands that are fundraising. And she was like, hey, if you ever need, here's my card, just kind of casually threw it out there. I didn't think I was ever going to call her, but I was now dealing with this issue that I didn't have at the time. And I wanted to learn more. And she, sure enough, 30 minutes on the call with me, she sent me follow-up resources. And I felt so much better after that time with her than I did before. And I think that's just one of dozens of instances where I've had to pull on acquaintances, colleagues, family and friends. My family and friends have been incredibly supportive. Aunt's at my house right now, all the way from California, watching my baby because my schedule is so crazy with the shops opening. And so it's like, if I didn't have my village, I don't know how I would do this.
So you mentioned your shops opening. That was going to be my next question about what is next for you. So you're not just doing things online now, you actually have locations.
Mm-hmm. So we have two locations, one in Boston Seaport neighborhood. It is a temporary pop-up, but it's mostly our baby care consumables in that space. And then we have our permanent location, which is in the Jamaica Plain neighborhood of Boston, that is set to open next month. And the concept is a cafe, so a cafe-style eatery, but our entire menu is for babies and children. So we're taking this menu that I've created, I've just hired a chef, and we will be crafting foods for babies and toddlers. So we now have a space for people with young children to take their kids.
Wait a minute. You mean babies and toddlers are getting their own cafe where they can try nutritious, healthy foods. And you know they're going to make a mess, right? Are you guys ready for that?
We're prepared for it. We are prepared for a lot of mess.
You know, there are so many spaces that people don't want to see babies and toddlers, to be 100% exactly. honest with you. There are people who go into a restaurant or go into someplace, see kids and turn back around. I've done it and I'm a parent. I get it. So for them to have a space that's targeted for them to eat and explore, that's very much out of the box, Tracy.
Well, that's exactly why we did it. Like, even you turned around and you're a parent, you're right. But think about that parent with their 8-month-old in a restaurant who's like throwing the menu every 8 seconds, you know what I mean? And taking those noodles and squishing it and throwing it on the waiter. Like, they frankly don't feel comfortable in those spaces either. But we don't have a space. We don't have some place where it feels chic but homey and your baby is comfortable and safe there. The menu is for them. We've got a play space that we've built out inside, but it's not like your, don't think like McDonald's back in the day. It is very architectural. It's just very Montessori, like the kids can interact with the space. And it's incredible. We're excited about what's to come.
Oh my goodness. I am so pleased to learn more about Little Cocoa Bean and what you're doing online to support parents and what you're going to be doing in the Boston area. So thank you so much for revealing all that information and sharing so much nutrition information online. Like you said, just putting it in a TikTok TikTok has become where we get all of our parenting hacks now.
Absolutely. It's like, honestly, it's a great space for some parenting hacks. So I would encourage any mom who's listening. I resisted getting on TikTok for a very long time, like actively resisted. It's actually a really great space to learn some really valuable information.
Tracy, thank you so much for being on this episode of This Is Motherhood.
Thank you so much, Joyce, for having me.
Thank you so much for listening today. We'll be back next week with another great informative episode, so make sure you tune in. This Is Motherhood is produced by Jennifer Bassett and Olivia Hendrickson, with editing by Anthony Lemos. I'm your host, Joyce Brewer. Thanks for listening.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.